Good morning. Thank you so much for taking time to come to the session. These early morning slots sometimes are difficult to get to, so it's so nice to see so many of you here. We're going to start off by introducing who we are, and we're then going to talk you a little through some of the work that your board has been doing in this last year, and some of the decisions that we're taking with you around where things are going. And then we want to make sure that there's plenty of time for questions at the end. So I'm Judith Carpenter from the UK, been in Mint since 2000 and been on the board since May 2009. Oh, and I'm the chair.
Hi everybody, I'm Alan Zukoff, currently Vice Chair and Treasurer, Mint member since 1998 and board member since September 2008, right after incorporation. And I decided that since we're in San Diego, regardless of the temperature, today I was going to wear shorts and sandals.
Hi everybody, my name is Guy Azoulay. I hope my French accent doesn't throw you off. I'm a French physician. I've been a mintee since somewhere around 2002, something like that, and on the board since a few months, but it does seem like a very, very long time. Thank you all for being my driving force.
Hi, forgive me, I'm not well at the moment. Sympathy vote. Thank you. Lynn Williams from the UK. I've been a mintee since 2003. And I've been on the board a couple of months, and I echo Guy's sentiment. Love it. It feels like a long time. Good to be here, and it's just so good to see everybody here today as well. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Christiana Fortini. I'm from Switzerland. Well, I work in Switzerland. I'm not from there. I've been a mintee since 1997, and on the board for the last year.
Hi, I'm Jackie Hecht from Providence, Rhode Island. I guess I've been a mintee since whenever Mint began in 1996 or 7. And I've been on the board since September of 2009.
At this point, before we formally begin our session, we'd just like to extend our thanks and gratitude to a couple of groups of people who've worked incredibly hard so that we can all be here and enjoy this fine, now the weather's got better, city. Mindy Homan, who's on the local health committee, assured me that the weather was going to be really good in San Diego, so I packed accordingly. And during the first 3 days of rain, I did think that the strap line for next year in Sheffield could have been, we guarantee the weather will be as good as in San Diego. So, on that note, I'm really glad you've made the weather better. And so have thanks to our local health organising committee, Igor and Mindy from this very place, and Susan Timothy, who's already, we've acknowledged. So thank you for your hard work and teamwork in getting this up and running. Thank you very much. And having done this job myself, I really want to thank the Programme Planning Committee, who are running around and making sure everything's where it should be, when it should be, and sorting a whole number of things out, both before, during, and probably after this meeting. And so thank you to Katie Slack, to Agnetta. I can never remember yourself. I'm just going to call you Agnetta. To Eileen Britt, and to Ali Hall. If you guys are in here, you can stand up so we can just... So thank you. So, where have we been? We decided to start thinking about presenting to you. I've been on a number of board meetings, and they can get a little bit tedious. So we hope that this is not going to fall into that category. But we would like to give you, the membership that are here, an overview of where things have come from in order to start be able to present to you where we are, where we're going. So most of you, although not new Minties who've joined us for the first time at this meeting, will have known that we became incorporated in September 2008. And with that incorporation has come a whole number of changes that I guess a lot of us didn't really understand that we would need to be doing. And so there's been a huge period of transition on the board, both in the board and the whole of the organisational development. And there's been a fair amount of turnover and change in board personnel in the last year. We've had three people who've been elected via you, the membership. We have had another person appointed onto the board, and we've had two resignations. And I guess the thing to say about that more than anything is that during that transition and flux, the thing to note for us now is the board really feels now that it's entered a period of much more stability, and it's a good place to be on. In terms of how we choose to work, we work very much as a collective of people. And really that each member individually, as well as the board as a whole, remain very committed to leadership by consensus. And finally, before I pass you over to one of my colleagues here, this is really about you and us, and we're one and the same, because this is a member-led organisation. And so what's foremost in the front of our mind is we're really drawing on the strengths and ideas as you, the membership, to shape the organisation as it goes forward, and we just happen to be in a privileged position of helping some of that happen. And so I'd like to pass over to Jackie Hecht, who just wants to say a little bit more about that.
So in thinking about how best to sort of set the stage for our presentation this morning of where we've been and where we think we're heading and what you'd like to see us be doing, and we thought it was really appropriate to recall Dean Sixon's presentation yesterday on the stages of implementation of organizations. And in thinking about where we are, we're at those really early stages. I think we've done a fair amount of exploration and assessment. For many years, we were stuck in exploration and assessment. And I think we're at a place now where we're beginning to move beyond into some early experimentation and implementation. And it was really comforting yesterday to hear Dean say that if we were to look at outcomes, we wouldn't see anything. That was very refreshing to hear. Because you may all be feeling that way as well. And yet that's exactly where we are. And yet we feel very confident that we are moving in a direction that feels right to us, and it feels like it's where the membership wants to go. And we continue to remain committed to the membership. We are the membership, and we really continuously want to hear from you about your ideas and how and where you'd like to help us steer this organization. And I guess just lastly, just wanting to acknowledge the fact that because we're in this early stage of implementation, we recognize and we've experienced that things are not always going to go so smoothly, and we're going to hit some bumps in the road, and we're not always going to get things right. And as much as we feel sorry for that, we also recognize that that's part of the learning, and that we hope that you will sort of help us through that process. But that we feel very strongly that we are, as a group, very committed to moving in a direction, taking steps, and making decisions that are consistent with our values and our mission that, again, have all been agreed upon by you. So I guess with that said, I'm going to pass it over to someone else.
They decide for me. Okay. Last year in Sidges, those of you who were here might remember that during the board session, we asked all of you if you had any questions for the board. And we wrote all those questions down, and we thought we might take a little bit of time to answer at least some of them. So here are the questions. The first one was, how many people are on the board? Well, as you can see, we are now six, but there's actually a minimum of 5, maximum of 9, and what we're aiming is at least we have to have an odd number, so we're still missing out on one board member. Do board members have specific responsibilities?
Well, there's the specific roles
we can either be directors at large or we can be officers, and the officer roles where there's the chair, who's Judith, treasurer, and vice chair, that's Alan. We can combine different officer roles as well, and then there's the secretary. How long are the board members' terms? Well, we serve for 3 years.
Feels like 10.
At least, can board members be re-elected, and do they have to go off the board for a period? Actually, yes, board members can be re-elected for a second term. To be able to do that, we need approval within the board. So if any one of us wants to be run for a second term, we need our co-board members to agree that that's going to be a good idea. Does the board get paid, and are their expenses reimbursed? We do not get paid. Board members are purely volunteers. Actually, we put the vote through the membership last year, and it was agreed, and this is what members have decided, that we could get reimbursed for expenses, including travel-related expenses and hotel expenses for the TNT and Forum Week. Who determines if there's going to be a working group established? We now call these working groups committees instead of working groups, and the board appoints committees. And their committees are made up of volunteers from the membership. And their role is to provide policy recommendations and undertake some of the operational tasks related to running Mint. Who makes the day-to-day decisions regarding operations? Well, the board has two functions. We take care of operational functions and strategy things. So day-to-day operations are undertaken by us at this point. And then there's... You're going too fast, Alan, sorry.
You paused, I think.
I'm trying to read and talk at the same time while not reading, so it's not very easy, but... Okay, well, you've seen the rest. That's okay, let's go. Okay, so how often does the board meet, and how do we meet? We meet for at least 2 hours every 2 weeks by Skype. We communicate by email between that time. And then we meet face-to-face at least once a year at the Mint Forum. How does the board assess and monitor their own MI-consistent processes? The mission statement and the values are two things that will guide us in our processes, and the Mint board are very committed to this. Yeah. Back to you.
Okay. So what have we done? This is just some of the things that we've been working on behalf of the organization in the last year. As you will see, we have a Mint logo, and some of you may have been involved with some of that decision and discussion over the listserv. And Guy is going to talk a little bit more through the website stuff later, but I think it was it took a long time to get the consensus on the logo. But we have it. We hope you like it. So that's one thing that's been completed. Excuse me. Okay. We've also developed a robust membership management process or processes with regards to who the members are. We didn't actually know who our members really were. We had a sort of idea, and there were various lists. But now we do actually have an up-to-date membership list. And as we sit here, well, after the last year, we have 880 members who are all in good standing. And we continue to have a robust dues process. So although I know some of you experienced some difficulties with using that process, we have contracted Mint's first paid administrative assistant to support the board with some of the works that we need to be doing. This is, can I say who he is? Yes, Jack Knapp Manuel. And he, is that right? Jack Knapp, okay. Sorry, yeah, Jack Knapp. He's working with us for up to 20 hours a week on many of the administrative tasks that need to support some of the work that we're doing. One thing that we have been really focusing on in listening to the views of the membership is around application and site selection processes for these meetings. And we have this year developed quite a strong application process for our meeting in 2012. And just before I came away to San Diego, we sent out that application to those interested parties for holding our next North America Forum TMT event. And we also have developed open selection processes regarding TMT trainer selection. Okay. You added that in. This wasn't in there last night.
But it's true.
It is. Okay. Yeah, so that was... In this last year, as you know, thank you. In this last year, we have initiated the process of electing directors onto the board. Up until that point, the selection process was slightly different, and now there's a robust election process, and we already have three of our board of directors that have joined us in this way from your votes. We are in the process of, we're certainly within this, we've developed and are piloting a reinstatement process for former members. There have been some members who have been members of Mint who have not paid their dues and have now been taken off of the Mint membership and are keen to get back on. And we've actually decided to have a considered reinstatement process, and we have some very able volunteers helping us with that, and that process is working well. Oh, yeah. God. We are now insured. We couldn't have insurance until we became incorporated. And this is a little line here which just says we've obtained this insurance. There's been months and months and months of work in order to get the right level of insurance for an international organization that exists virtually, apart from when we have this opportunity to meet. So we have directors and officers, employment practices liability. We have crime insurance and workman's compensation for all volunteers, which we hope we don't need to use. And as part of that process, in order to get insurance, you have to be able to demonstrate to any insurer that you have policies that you can use with regard to a number of operations. And so we have written anti-harassment policy, anti-discrimination and equal opportunities policies on behalf of the organisation, and they're just a small number of the policies that we're still in the process of writing. Have we done everything? And we have generated, with the help of some of our advisors and colleagues, a draft mission and value statement, and Guy, you're going to share that with the audience now.
Yeah. Okay, I've got just two slides to go through, so I'll give you time when you have to change them. Okay, some things, go without saying, but some things really have to be said and really have to be stated. And this is our mission statement. That means this is where we're going. And you don't know where if you got there unless you know where you're going. I'm going to go through it and read it and, sort of let it sink in. This is also our hopes as a nonprofit organization for all the good things that we can bring to the membership, knowing that through the membership, we're doing also lots of good things, and thanks to all of you for all the good things you're doing for a whole lot of people out there. So the mission of Mint is to promote good practice in the use, research, and training of motivational interviewing. Mint supports the continuing learning and skillfulness of its members, through meetings, like here, open sharing of resources, communication, publications, and shared practice opportunities. Rather than seeking to limit or control the practice and training of motivational interviewing, Mint promotes quality applications of motivational interviewing across cultures, languages, and contexts. Right, so that's where we're heading. Then there's how we're going to go about building and structuring, thanks to you and all the good things you're bringing up from the membership, through all the work you're doing and through the committees, and you'll get a better knowledge of all of that when we get to showing you our organization chart. Yes, please. So here are the basic values. I think there's some more of them out there. Now, if anybody feels uncomfortable with any of these values, well, there's a whole bunch of things you can do. We have a policy for complaints. You can walk out. Otherwise, bear with me while I go through them. You know, quality. Of course, what we're aiming at is to try to have the means to bring people to excellence, to reliability, of course, ethics in the way they practice, integrity, professionalism, and obviously to be responsive to emerging evidence, as this is a whole organic process and things are always evolving. With quality, there's also the generosity. And boy, I can tell you there's lots of generosity on this board. I might not even be here as a member of the board if it wasn't for the great people I'm working with. So generosity, non-possessiveness, sharing, acknowledgement, collaboration, cooperation, and giving more than you receive. So this is really a frame of mind that reflects the MI spirit within the organization itself. There is also the openness to the evolution, the emergent and open-minded, innovative, flexible, expanding the boundaries, the growth, the humility, the curiosity, and also the self-critical, which is also a way for us to learn and to grow. And like I said, here is really an excellent experience and a growing experience and a learning experience. And there are also lots of things that we can do, even if we don't agree, but we can do it through respect, because of valuing of the individual and the professional diversity. And there's so much of it here, coming from so many different horizons and so many different countries internationally, with kindness, through listening, through communication, egalitarianism, welcoming, inclusivity, multidisciplinary, and acceptance. So there are just a few words to try to describe some of those basic values, and I'm sure we can, you know, find many more to stick into them, and probably lots of other values to build around that one. Okay, so who's next in line? Back to you.
What else have we done?
Okay.
You
may have noticed that we actually have surveyed the membership a number of times in this last year, and that's been necessary. So whilst it may have felt like survey overload, we make no apologies for the fact that the only way for us to really hear your views is to actually be able to find a way of eliciting them and to be able to take notice of what you are saying, because we are this member-led organisation. So we've had the Professional Issues Committee have put out a survey on TNT processes, and after that, and with support from some key members of that committee, have developed a subcommittee to actually develop policy for endorsement of non-mint-sponsored TNTs, because we have a number of people who would like TNTs to be held outside of, connected with mint, of the mint-sponsored TNT, so that certainly has happened. We've had a public service committee survey, and the public service committee is around the collection and distribution of funds for undeserved and underprivileged areas. The money from the silent auction is part of that fund, and it's a careful way of thinking about how those monies are best used.
as those of you who came to the meeting, the excellent meeting that Heather ran yesterday, there's been a trainer development and certification survey as part of the TD&C committee, looking at policy recommendations for trainer development pathways and trainer certification. And for the first time, we've got a real sense from the membership in which direction we should go with that, and that's exciting stuff. And, yeah, and we've sent you another survey, which we have had translated into many different languages, so we still don't have, and that survey is still open as we speak, and we certainly don't have the answers to the questions around what it means for you guys to be a Mentee. And we thought that was an important thing to get a sense of your values of how you feel within this organisation. Okay, and this isn't a survey. A fair amount of our time in the last 6 to 8 months has actually been to look at, restate and amend Mint Incorporated Articles of Incorporation and the bylaws. This is, as I think I said to Chris earlier, I think I know more about Virginia state law than I do the law in the UK. So I'm good. Noted, duly noted. Yeah, but we have insurance. And these bylaws, and I'm going to pass you on to Alan in a moment to start talking about this. This is really important, and these are now ready for your ratification. So on that note, I'm going to pass you over to Alan to... We're not going to take you through is it 22-page legal document today? You'll be happy to know.
Here it is. I'm just going to use this thing. So, although we don't want to try to read through 18 pages of bylaws and 3 pages of articles of incorporation with you, we'll spare you that. We will be posting those. Those will be posted as of later today, actually on the CCARTA website, and we will provide the link to you all where you can download those easily, so you can review them at your leisure, particularly if you're having trouble falling asleep tonight. But in brief, just wanted to say a few things about the changes, or some of what has changed in the revised bylaws. Some of the changes are really simply to bring us more in line with Virginia state law, which it turns out in our previous or existing bylaws, in some ways we were not as compliant with the Virginia Non-Stock Corporation Act as we need to be. We haven't actually mentioned this because we've all come to take it so for granted, but also in the past year we received from the IRS a designation as a 501c3 organization, which formally makes us a non-profit public charity, which is why we can collect donations and do things without having to pay taxes. Which is very nice, and also which designates us as an organization that exists not for profit but for the charitable, scientific, and educational purposes. And so we have been working to bring ourselves in line and in compliance with the law. This diagram, which is largely attributable to Lynn's creative and structuring with some input from many of us, tries to capture a little bit about how the organization is organized now going forward. In the amended and revised, restated bylaws, there is, of course, the board of directors, first of all, surrounded by the Mint membership, which, of course, encapsulates everything of the organization. We now have 2 formal advisory committees. We have always had informal advisors, former board members as well as Bill and Steve, but they never had any actual status in our bylaws, which didn't seem quite right, so now they do. They are the Directors Emeritus Committee, which is the committee of former board members who will serve 3 years in the role of Director Emeritus and help to advise us on the board as we try to solve problems and make decisions, and also the MI Founders Committee, which is now and ever henceforth will be comprised of only 2 people who must serve until incapacity or death, as it says in the bylaws. We actually took out the option for them to resign, so and so they're stuck with us. And we have two standing committees that are specified in the bylaws: the audit committee, which is comprised of two Mint members, and the treasurer. And so for now, me. Responsible for overseeing the finances of the organization, ensuring that no hanky-panky is going on. If I don't show up again for a while after this meeting, by the way, you'll find me in Rio on a beach somewhere. But after that, it'll all be no hanky-panky. We also have instituted a nominating committee to nominate members for candidates for election to the board. This was recommended by various expert bodies on good governance, and this allows us to ensure that we have not just those folks who are sort of, you know, like me, outgoing and willing to say, hey, you know, nominate me, but that we're able to capitalize on the great talent in the organization among people who might not be as likely to put themselves forward, and yet if invited and recognized as potential leaders for the organization, would actually be quite willing and happy to do that. And so we're looking forward to getting the nominating committee structured and up and running for our next set of elections. We then have a whole bunch of other committees, as you can see, including, I'll start here, just because we created this yesterday, so this is cutting edge with a wonderful idea. In the discussion, this is sort of how we work, actually. We had a lovely discussion with the six TNT trainers from this year, and in discussing the fact that we really wanted to make sure that their knowledge and experience didn't get lost and could be used to continue to support future TNT trainers, the idea of actually creating a committee, the TNT Trainers Emeritus Committee of these former TNT trainers arose, and happily all six of this year's TNT trainers agreed to be members of this committee. And so this will help to ensure the institutional memory. That's one of Bill's phrases. It's become one of my favorite phrases, so that we don't lose what we've learned. Other committees include the Website Development Committee, from whom you'll be hearing from the lead, Guy Undrill, very shortly. The Training Development and Certification Committee, who presented the survey results yesterday. The Finance Committee, Professional Issues Committee, which now has two current subcommittees. The Endorsed TNT Subcommittee, which is formulating policy on how we should decide on which TNTs to endorse to allow participants to join Mint. And the Reinstatement Subcommittee, which helped us develop the actual process for reinstating former members and are now actually serving as the reviewers of the applications for reinstatement and providing us with an initial way of sorting out that process, which, as Judith mentioned, is going very well. We have the Public Service Fund Committee, and we have this group of committees that related to this annual event, a local host organizing and planning committee, TNT site selection committee, TNT trainer selection committee, some of whose members overlap. But the idea is here being that these are not decisions that should be made by the board, that, in other words, just six members making all of these very important decisions, that we are able to bring in the knowledge and perspectives of many other Mint members into these committees to provide guidance, advice, policy recommendations, and so on, that we can then draw on. So this is pretty much what the organization looks like now and going forward, as we have approved as a board the amended and restated articles and bylaws, and therefore we'll soon be putting them out to you and requesting your ratification of those, because one of the conditions that was both in the prior bylaws and the current bylaws is that the members must ratify any major changes to the or structure and running of Mint, rather than simply allowing the board to make those decisions without getting member agreement. That's it for bylaws. And so now we'd like to invite Guy Undrill of the Mint Website Development Committee to talk with you a little bit about our new website. Me? Keep talking?
Yes, that's actually an interesting idea.
Yeah, any questions?
So this would be a great... No?
Yes.
So this might be a great time to see, since Wild Guy is setting up, if there are any questions about anything we've discussed so far. Let's start here. And...
next organizing committee. Thank you.
So how do we, I think it's really, I mean, I'm going to retranslate the question, it was comment turn into a question, which I can do. Well, so I'm going to restate it as the comment as a question, and then you can answer it. So it's... I think it's about how do we ensure that when we for the TNT for site selection and the process of organizing a meeting like this, how do we also ensure the institutional memory going forward for that knowledge, similar to the way we hope to ensure the actual TNT process institutional memory through the TNT Emeritus Committee. You want to answer?
Not site select, but organizing and hosting and planning. Yes. That's a great idea. Well, and I think informally that what has happened is that people who have planned and organized in the past have been involved. Oftentimes we've actually had some of the members carry forward from year to year, so that there's always been at least a couple people each year who have been involved in the past to bring some of that forward, but formalizing that process would probably be a good idea so that we ensure that there's always some carry forward. In addition to soliciting recommendations and suggestions from people who attend these events who might not want to be a part of the official planning committee but might have some really good ideas on how we can add some new things, change things up so that we don't always do it the same way we did it before just because it worked last year. So I think that's a great idea, and if you have continued ideas about that, we'd love to hear them.
We'll take more questions. It looks urgent. Is it urgent?
Yeah.
Two loaded questions and an open question. The loaded question is...
You're pushing it, David. You're pushing it.
How much do you get paid? How many hours a week are you guys working on this?
Thank you, David. Thank you.
Are there any psychiatrists in the house?
Yeah.
I'm going to Rio.
Quite cute, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so a little bit on the new website, which is really, really nearly ready. I'm quite frustrated that, I mean, it's literally like 2 or 3 weeks away from the soft launch, so I'm kind of disappointed I can't show it to you, but I'll show you some pictures. Let's start. I know people aren't really interested in the technology, but I'm going to bore you with the technology just a little bit, because it's important to understand, because then you can understand what the website will do, because it's a little bit different to the old website. So this is the old website. What you do is you type the URL in, it goes to a server, the server then gets a page of HTML and sends it back down to your computer, and that then displays on your computer. Okay, very simple. The HTML is just a document with the content and some formatting. That's what we've got at the moment. What we've got coming is a bit more complicated. What happens is that you type your URL in, which is a request to the server for information. The server then goes to a database and brings back the data relevant to your request, combines that with a template, and then sends it back to your screen, and that's That's the new page. Okay? Why is that important? Well, it's important because different people can see the website in different ways. So, for example, let's go back. What we might have here, that's gone again. Technology. What we might have here is you could have at the top left there, you could have somebody who's not a Mint member. They will see one particular version of this website. When you log in, you get a different version of the website. So, for example, there will be a resource library on the website, and that will be open to the public. You can go there and you can download stuff about motivational interviewing. But if you're a Mint member and you log in, that resource library has more and different stuff in it, the stuff on training that the public won't see. You can also log in as a board member, and there's a separate bit for board members so that they can have the board member business done on a bulletin board, and it's automatically archived, so we've got a complete record of what's going on with the board. And then as well, there's the possibility for an editor function. Some of you, and I will be asking for volunteers, will be editors for some aspects of the website. So when you're logged in, you'll see a different view again, and you'll be able to edit some of the features in the website. What are the key functions? The first of them is the e-forum. This is what we hope is going to replace the listserv. And it's kind of a bulletin board kind of arrangement where all the conversations that are currently on the listserv will be on a bulletin board, threaded, sorted, archived, and searchable. Now, we know that some people like the listserv a lot, and so we've tried to set this up so that it's we've tried to set it up so that it will be easy for people that like the listserv. When you log into the e-forum, you can set up alerts, and you can have as many or as few as you want. You can be alerted to every posting, and then you'll get an email for every posting, and that will have the full text of the posting. Or you can have none, and you can just go to the website when you want to go to the website. Or you can set it up to just alert you for the threads that you're interested in. There's a resource library. Again, this is a kind of database-driven thing. So how it works is that you'll be able to upload your materials, be that a handout or a PowerPoint or whatever. That then goes into a queue for the editor for that section of the site to review. This is where I look at the board, because this is a strategic thing. They've got to decide on what kind of criteria we're going to use for what should we publish on the site. But the editor will follow those guidelines, and then it will be published. You can tag them so that it's searchable. So some of them will be, one of the tags is that it's visible to Minties or visible to the public or just for Minties, for example. And there are other tags. There are language tags. There's a bibliography. The bibliography is, again, fully searchable. It works by the same kind of way that you can upload a reference. It goes into a queue, and then when it gets approved, it goes onto onto the bibliography. It's an exportable bibliography. You can export the whole thing, or you can export parts of it in the common formats like XML or EndNote, so you can download it straight into your own bibliographic manager if you've got that on your computer. And you can output in pretty much any style you want. You can output in Vancouver or Harvard or a whole bunch of other styles. I can't remember them all. There's a trainer listing, so that will be you. That's one database, and the way we've got the developers working on that is that the information is different depending on whether you're a member of the public or a Mintie. So members of the public see the information that you choose to make public, and
you can make more information like your personal email address available to Minties, or you can choose to keep all of that hidden if that's what you prefer. So there's three levels of how you reveal information about yourself. There's a training listing facility as well. This works on the same basis that if you've got a training that you're doing, an MI training, that you upload it, it goes into a queue, and an editor publishes it. Again, we've got to work out what the criteria are, because we don't want to be, if some of you are doing non-MI trainings, for example, they probably don't belong on the site. There are other criteria that we need to work out as to what we want to have on the site and what we don't. There are a couple of blogs. At the moment, we've got two people who are writing blogs. Steve Rolnick is one, and Grant Corbett is the other. Grant is going to pick up what he used to do in the bulletin, and is going to do a blog on what the research says. And this is what it all looks like. This is a mock-up from the developers. So you see across the top, there's a menu bar. Then we've got a welcome message. Below that, there's a what's new section. And then below that, there are two sections. We've got upcoming events. So those will be trainings. That will be visible to the general public. And we've got recent blog posts that will come up there. We've got one other screenshot, which is just showing the drop-down there for MI resources, for the bibliography, the blogs. There'll be a link to My Trip, Motivational Interviewing Treatment Research.
Research Implementation Practice.
Yeah, which is the e-journal coming soon. And there'll be a links page. Where do we go from here? The next stage is the soft launch. We call it a soft launch because it won't be fully functional probably before the end of this year, although it will be there and available within the next few weeks, and we'll put out an announcement when that happens. And when that happens, go use it, play with it, try and break it, try and find things that don't work, and we've got the next few months with the developers to try and get it sharp. Next few months as well, we're also going to try and get some support documents going and maybe some support videos to help people that are kind of not used to using a website like this. We're looking for volunteers for editors. We've got two groups of editors we're looking for. We're looking for what we've called events managers, and we're looking for knowledge managers. So the events managers will look at new trainings as they get uploaded and check them out, check that they're approvable, and then publish them to the website. The knowledge management editors are looking at resources that we're uploading, handouts, PowerPoints, whatever, and also things that go to the bibliography. There are some strategic issues which the website committee and the board need to think about. Just the kinds of things, for example, in the past, the bibliography that Chris has run for very many years has had a quality criteria. Chris hasn't put everything onto that, but we need to think about what do we want to put into the bibliography and what criteria do we want the editors to be using. Similarly, we need to think about the resources that we're uploading. Do we want some quality criteria there? There may be things that are connected with our 501c3 status. We wouldn't be able to put up materials, for example, that were blatantly promotional. So the next stage is really getting it right in English, which I think will probably take us at least till Christmas and probably the next 6 months. The platform we've got, Drupal, for those that are interested in such things, supports 44 languages. So the next stage is to start trying to roll it out into other languages. The kind of mechanics of the website, it's fairly easy to make to translate those into other languages so that Vaughan logs in and it says log in, Eric logs in and it says logger in. So those kinds of things are very freely available. But if we want to start translating stuff, that's quite a big task, and it's quite a big task to keep it all coordinated, particularly if we're going to do it across how many languages now are we? A mint? 30 languages. That'll be a big coordinating task to make sure that, you know, even simple things like the welcome message is saying the same thing in all the languages that that we support. Then it will be revision and redevelopment. Website design these days is considered to be a kind of an iterative process. It won't all be there straight away. Some of the things won't work the way we want. When people start using the website, there will be things that will be immediately obvious that we need to do that we're not doing now, and so we will need to revise it, and I would have thought we'd probably need to do an overhaul in about 18 months or 2 years. This is the website subcommittee. One person perhaps needs special mention on there, Chris Wagner, who has been doing the current website single-handed for years, and I think it's doing this has made me appreciate quite what an act of love that must have been for Chris. We've set the new website up deliberately so that it isn't one person doing it. You know, we've got all these editor roles set up, and the editor roles, we're hoping that it's going to be 3, 4, maybe half a dozen people in each of those editor roles. Chris has been doing all of that on his own for 10 years. For volunteers. We need people to take on these editor roles. We've also got content in these writing, so if you're interested in being an editor or writing content, then email me. We need to hear from you. Or catch me, speak to me. Yeah.
Do you need that back again?
Yeah. The board would like to take this opportunity, Guy, to thank you. It's just wonderful to see this and to see it in action. We've had discussions over a long time, but to actually see the final version almost there, and the amount of hard work and development you've put in, and I know how long you spent on doing this, seriously, we think he does deserve a round of applause. Okay, we briefly just want to tell you a little bit about something else we're doing or we've done with regard to this event next year. As you know, we are in a situation now where we're asking people to apply to host these meetings, and next year in 2011 it's going to be in Sheffield. And we're thinking of calling it the Full Minty. So some of you may be asked about your dancing skills. Jeff, where are you? Brecken, where is he? Where is he? Come here. This is Sheffield. Jeff is Sheffield. And I'm going to ask you to just say a few words at this time, if you would, about... I know you've not got much of a voice, but you're going to say a few words.
I have what we call in the UK man flu. So I'm lucky to be alive. It's very doctor's verbal. I'd like to say two thanks. Thanks to the San Diego Planning Committee. What a tough act to follow. What do we do? Thank you to the board for accepting our offer. Very small bit on the UK. In the next 2 years, we have two big events. We have an Olympics coming up in 2012. More importantly, we have Sheffield 2011. We're hoping ours is going to be better organised than the Olympics is. So. Can't promise it's going to be cheaper. But, 5th of September, Monday the 5th, please, if you can, come along to Sheffield. The UK's fourth largest city, right in the middle of the country, very proud industrial heritage, and it straddles one of the most beautiful areas in the UK, which is the Peak National Park. We will have in the next... Where's Guy? Guy. A couple of months, we'll have a website. We will have discussion boards. We will have my email, which I will put out on the listserv. So if people have questions regarding accommodation, transport, things to do and see, we will have all of that available before Christmas. So, thank you. Sorry, I can. The TNT and the pre-forum workshops will be the 5th to the 7th of September. Okay, Monday the 5th of September. The Mint Forum will obviously follow that Wednesday, which is the 7th. So it will follow the same idea. So registration on the Wednesday evening on the 7th. Okay. I have some photographs, which are on my hard drive. But, are there any questions? People, any things at this stage? Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Lynn.
You're going to have to bear with me because I've got allergy along with Jeff at the moment. I've got man flu. It's a quite English term. I just want to talk a little bit about the future direction of Mint, because we've talked a lot about where we've come from, where we are now, but obviously strategically we need to be thinking about the future. And we are unusual in the sense of the board that we are working and straddling between the operational and the strategic, and thanks to Dave about, yes, I think Dave, we do need, well, I certainly see a psychiatrist, certainly. There's a lot of time being spent, obviously, in trying to get Mint where people want it to be, the membership certainly. For the future, we as an organisation, we have policy development that we have to work through. A lot of writing needs to go on, and we've already started that process, and we do a lot of this virtually. But there's a Mint Indoors TNTs. We need to be developing the public service fund criteria for the distribution of the funds. That's very much at the heart of a charity, isn't it? You know, about actually giving and getting MI out to underserved countries and areas. We need to develop the volunteering policy. Mint is about the volunteers. It's about the knowledge and the expertise that is actually within the organisation, and we want to be able to make sure we're taking care of you in you giving back to Mint in terms of your expertise and knowledge. And insurance has been part of that, because people have got the same rights and responsibilities as employees as a volunteer. We need to be developing the nominating committee and guidelines. We need to be moving towards developing trainer development and trainer certification pathways. We want to move towards the keeping the organisational memory in place by developing a board handbook and an orientation process, so that new board members that come onto the board, you know, have the benefit of what's gone before, and also are clear about role and responsibilities in terms of delivery as a board director. We also want to work with you on a membership handbook. You know, what is it I get for my dues? And we're all members at the end of the day. And we want to develop that process. We also need to be developing how we select the locations for 2012-2013 TNT forums. We are working on formalising relationships with national and regional mints. Alan? Sorry. You want me to pick up on? Oh, right, okay. We are human. We also are working on a service desk. So rather than actually talking about complaints, we're talking more about all the processes behind suggestions, complaints, compliments and so forth. We want to be able to be more responsive to the membership when they've got questions or queries, and we would like to be able to develop the service desk, and that's embryonic at the moment, but we're moving forward with that. We also need to be looking at income generation strategies for Mint. It's a charity. How do we raise funds? Besides obviously the big organisational events we have, how for the future do we actually generate income for Mint to make it a viable organisation? Because obviously the treasurer needs to manage the books and make sure there's no hanky-panky going on. And that's it. I think at this point I'll be going to ask for some questions. We've got around, how long have we got? About 20 minutes. I can run around with a mic or something.
I'll be happy to.
Bless you. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay. First question, this gentleman here. Thank you.
I know that there has been some discussion about hiring a professional association management group, and I didn't hear any report or discussion of that this morning, and I was wondering where that stood.
Well, so when we were looking for administrative assistance and management assistance, we looked at a number of options. We did explore companies that actually do corporate management or executive director sort of for hire services that other organizations do employ to sort of do a lot of the management functions. And we eliminated that as an option for Mint primarily because the two large and very well-reputed companies that we approached and discussed this with after we provided our organizational profile and to them came back to us with the same message, which is I'll translate it into simple terms: we can't afford them. So we moved from that more sort of, you know, grand possibility to the simpler possibility of simply hiring one independent contractor to help us manage and administer, and that's where what we decided to move forward with, as was mentioned. And you know, as the organization grows and as things change, it's possible we may someday be at the point where we both would need and be able to afford such a service, but at this point, that's not where Mint is, apparently. Oh, Terry?
Yeah?
This is your aerobic exercise for the day.
Over. Through.
Shoot. Any plans for a publication?
Of what?
Like a journal?
Yeah, oh, I guess we didn't really...
Like a print one or even electronic journal other than the newsletter?
No. Well,
in addition to?
Guy alluded to this briefly, but since I'll answer because that's something else that I'm involved in. We have formally agreed with the University of Pittsburgh's University Library Service to publish an e-journal, an open access e-journal, which will be called MI Trip, as some of you know. Although many few of you seem to know that than I thought, and that kind of makes me wonder something. But motivational interviewing, treatment research, implementation, and practice, or MI Trip, the acronym that we chose to use. We had hoped to have that actually publishing by now or close to now. We're slowed down a little bit by some of the large amount of work that had to be done on the board and getting things to where they are now, because I will be the editor of MI Trip. Christiana and Guy are both involved on the editorial board. We have a number of other members of the editorial board. We actually do have an introduction to MI Trip posted as the very final issue, a supplemental issue of the Mint Bulletin, which you can find on the MI website. If you go to the Mint Bulletin page, you can see photographs of all of our editors and descriptions of the editorial structure. We've received several submissions already. We have most of what we need for our first issue, and we've been waiting for the final design of the Mint website to come in so that we can make sure that our site is mirrors as closely as possible the look and feel of the Mint website, because it's all in the family. And my hope is that by the end of this year, we'll be publishing our first issue.
Will this virtual journal be open to the general public as well?
Yes. Yeah, this is an open access and openly available journal. Submissions will be open to not just to Mint members, as was in the past with the Mint Bulletin, but to anyone writing on MI. It is not, we are not creating, we've not created a peer review journal, so it's not the door is fairly wide open, although I think the editors will sort of try to work with authors to ensure that the quality of what's written and published is of the quality of what we would want to be reflected and reflecting on Mint. But yes, it will be both readable by and open to submissions from anyone. That was true for the, well, the Mint Bulletin was also accessible in that way, and as some of you may know, the Mint Bulletin actually received as many as 17,000 hits for certain issues within a brief period of time. It's probably the most widely disseminated publication on MI other than the books, which is sort of amazing to me, and I only know that because Chris was kind enough to tell me, because he tracks these sorts of things. And so our hope is that that MI Trip will also be widely disseminated, widely read, and provide an audience for many of you and your contributions in terms of what you know about training practice, research, implementation, and so on.
One more comment to that. One thing that would be so very, very helpful, it's a wonderful idea with this e-journal. And one thing that would be very helpful for people like me, I mean people who don't have English as their first language, would be if there would be some way it would be a possibility to have a group of, you know, people who would help out, you know, read the English before publishing it. I mean, people like me feels like we are writing in some kind of, you know, comedy way when we write, you know, Donald Duck, you know, nothing to child book stuff. So I mean, we're a bit reluctant, you know, to present things, and that keeps us away. It's not the quality as itself. It's the language stuff. So it would be very helpful if you could consider inviting a small committee with people say, I would like to help out, you know, making this English sound properly before publishing.
So thank you, Annette. And I can tell you that I don't know if I can find it quickly enough. But we have a group of international liaisons, and that's their formal title, on the editorial board, and Christiana and Guy are both involved with that, who will be not only helping in terms of providing editorial help and writing help and so on, but will also, where we hope to move, will be to be publishing at least translated abstracts into multiple languages of the articles that are published, and also potentially publishing in multiple languages down the road, so that those who don't want to write in English but wish to write in their own language and have that understood by others would be able to do that. And I was just trying to see, since we're talking about this and there are so many questions about this, and I'm very happy to answer them, I want to see if I can very quickly find the issue. So I can, let's see, is it safe there? 52, 3, 4, it's not any of these. Oh, well, I'll have to move on. But it's posted on the MI website.
And
in case we do run out of time, want to kind of get back to something David introduced in a fun way that I was envious of. Yeah, I just want to express my deep appreciation for the group up there because So I hope I'm going to facilitate some sort of small contribution to honor the work that you've done on our behalf, that to tell a story about my I was drowning in the listserv, and then I had this idea that instead of trying to keep up to it, this is a digression, but I don't even meet criteria as a lurker. I'm just sort of, oh, this is all great, but I don't even have time to open up anything half the time. But so I came to this decision a couple of years ago to say, if we're going to go forward as a group to do all of the amazing things we can do to realize ourselves, our potential as an organization, I've got to make some kind of contribution. And since I can't do the listserv thing, I'm gonna join up with one of the working groups or committees. And I guess this is a message to everybody is, and it's along the theme that, the more of us that are involved in this, the easier it's gonna be for our board, I think. It's gonna be fewer than that titanic number of hours per week that you're putting in. But it's also an opportunity for us to contribute in a way that is not going to be too overwhelming. So that's, I just wanted to plug that possibility, is that if we look at the org chart, the more of us that are involved in a way that is achievable and sustainable for us, it's going to be better for everybody. So I highly recommend actually volunteering in some capacity, and then the load is not as much for us all or any of us. So that's, yeah. So thanks. Thanks so much.
I don't know that I have a question in as much as an observation. And having had the, I think as a couple of advisors ahead of me have told me, isn't it good to be an advisor now? And I was chatting with Guy when I walked in, and I'm just meeting him, and he said, I said, welcome to the board. And I said, well, nobody can tell you what the board's like. It's like the Matrix. You have to experience it. And then you get it. My heart and my love goes out to y'all. I know the hard work you're doing, and all the people that came before, too. I mean, I think we're heading in a good direction. My challenge to myself, to my colleagues, is as our organization grows, how do we keep the small town feel? I think Tim had some good thoughts about that, get involved. But there's something about that, and my worry is, and I'm not one to join professional organizations and hang around unless there's good insurance, is how do we maintain that? How do we maintain that character? And I don't want to become my personal thing. I would hope Mitt continues to keep his very personal experience that happens to be professionally enriching as well. And we don't turn into some amorphous group that doesn't really have much of an identity, but we're big. So we're going to need everybody's input on that one.
I'd like to respond to that if I could. I think we're evidence right here that we have done just that, because the group didn't start off this big. It started off much smaller with, is Jeff here? Jeff Allison? Yeah, Jeff, somewhere? This was Jeff's idea.
to get a group of trainers together. And maybe
you're the one who did this to me.
And Jeff probably could speak better to this, but my sense was that his feeling was that wouldn't it be great, you know, several of us have had TNT training, we're kind of floundering on our own, wouldn't it be great if we could come together and share our experiences, share our stories, and help each other out? And that's how this Mint Forum got started, and here we are, this large group of people together in this room, and my sense, and my sense from hearing all of you is that your sense is that this spirit has preserved. Despite the fact that we've grown. And so I think we're sort of living testimony that it can be done, and I think all of our hope is that we just stay mindful of that and we continue to, again, act and make decisions in ways that are consistent with that initial spirit. Jeff, do you want to say anything else?
I'll just say that I think Jeff's real contribution in bringing us back year after year was the synchronized swimming demonstration that he did with Steve when we were in Crete. That's why we all come back. I just wanted to say that I'm going to have a professional issues committee meeting, just a brief get-together, because we always get together
tell
on the phone.
Tell everybody your name.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Jennifer Luther, and I'd like to do that tomorrow during the Creative Corner right here in this room. So if you're interested in getting involved, we would love to have you, and look forward to seeing everyone that we talk with monthly on there.
Actually, I'd just like to add, you know, we've acknowledged a number of people, but I also want to increasingly acknowledge the people who are taking forward the former working groups and now committees, including Jen Luther in Professional Issues, Heather Flynn in Training Development and Certification, and a number of others who have really begun, sort of continued the process of turning those groups into genuinely collaborative and contributing policy advisory groups for us, because there's just no way that we would be able to do all of the policy development and create all the structures that need to be put in place in Mint without having that kind of contribution from the members of the committee and especially those leading the committee. So I just want to acknowledge that and thank them.
Good job, Terry. How do we find out who these committee people are and how to get in touch with them?
So that's a really... Oh, I was just going to have people stand up. Could we just have people... I'm just louder than you.
Actually, I've just realized the one thing we probably didn't do is say who's taking the lead in terms of the board and liaising with. So I think that we probably need to be able to post that, don't we, to say. And at the moment, I'm leading alongside DD Stout with the Public Service Fund. And I'd be really grateful for anybody who wants to contribute to the process as we now implement. We're looking at operationalising it and developing the process, so volunteers will be welcomed. Alan, you're liaising on which groups?
So I'm the liaison to the Professional Issues Group and the various subcommittees thereof, the Trainer Development and Certification Committee. I've been also co-liaison with you on the website development committee, although that is probably going to change, I hope, soon, and a couple of others. But if the leaders of the various committees, any who are here, would you all just stand up for a moment? You've met Jen, and that's Jennifer Luther. I don't know if Heather is here. Guy, you of course, for website development. Heather Flynn right there in Trainer Development and Certification. I don't know. I believe DD's gone. Are there others? Yeah.
It sounds like the question is, if people go back home and want to get involved, how do they know how to connect and do that?
I was just about to say
that. Well, you know, we post stuff on the listserv, but apparently I'm the only one who's reading it anymore. So I'm not sure that that's the answer. But it's a start, yeah.
We'll make sure you get the information so you know who you need to contact. Thank you.
Where?
About there. Maybe.
Good idea. This is what I love. Good idea.
Yeah,
we'll do that. Thank you very much.
I wondered if there's been consideration for interest groups, like the criminal justice, and maybe how that would get represented on the website or just in terms of committees.
Yeah, maybe I can take that.
Sure.
Oh, yes. The e-forum has sections in it. We've divided it up very kind of provisionally. I can't remember actually what categories we've got, but it would be a very easy matter to set up profession-specific subgroups for criminal justice to have their own section in the forum. Very easy to do.
One more question?
I think we may have to, I think we may have to stop. It's 10:30. Give David the last word.
Well, I actually have a serious question this time. So ICMI is a great thing, the International Conference on Motivational Interviewing, so I'm kind of wondering if that has been set for the next iteration. So that's one question. The bigger question for me is how is that going to operate in conjunction with Mint? And how do we keep the international flavor of the North American-based meetings when we seem to siphon off a lot of the European folks for that? So it's kind of a board question about how do we balance those things. And I'm thoroughly ambivalent about it because I love ICMI, and I also want all of our international colleagues here for the North American meetings.
Okay, ICMI and Mint Forums are two separate things, but we're trying to find a way to connect them because we think they should be connected. So we're trying to link them so that Mint can be a support for the organization of ICMIs. The objective of the two meetings is different because ICMI will probably be more oriented towards research, and there are also meetings that are open to non-mintees, so anyone who's interested in motivational interviewing at large will be able to attend ICMIs, whereas Mint Forums are only reserved for mintees. So that's probably where the big difference is. The next ICMIs are being held every 2 years, and we're hoping that the next one will be held. Can I say this, Gianpaolo? Can I say where the next one will be? We're hoping that the next ICMI will be held in 2012 in Venice. And Gianpaolo will be taking the lead on the organizing that.
Okay. Can we just add to that some of us on the board met with Gianpaolo and Rick Bess yesterday, and it's really around partnership working with ICMI and Mint, and it's about taking that forward, and we've got some very clear ideas about how we're going to do that. So Mint's going to be really supportive of ICMI as the future goes. And the other thing is talking to both Rick and Gianpaolo yesterday, so far it's always been held in Europe, but actually it's an international meeting, and that doesn't mean it always needs to continue to be. So we see developments with this working partnership as time goes on, and it's starting right now. So. Thank you all so much.